All right, I'm going to keep this simple.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Stassi. I'm Stassi Schroeder-Clark.
Let's do this. Emily, I am so excited. Welcome, you guys. This is the first time ever on Straight Up with Stassi that I'm having a model, a supermodel, on my podcast. Okay. Y'all, I have Emily DiDonato, like, holy shit, guest model, Maybelline model, Victoria's Secret model, Chanel model, like literally all the things, the Aqua perfume that everyone, what was that? Armani, that like all of us,
yes.
Like, you don't understand. Emily, like, not to make you feel bad, but you made me feel so bad about myself because your face has been so fucking perfect.
No,
you don't get it. And this was before Botox and all that stuff. Like, we didn't have the option to enhance our faces. I was just like, why don't I look like this?
Well, also, I was like 17 years old at the time, and they're fully portraying me as like a grown woman. So anyone looking at those images and campaigns from then, I'm like, of course they feel bad for themselves because I'm doing like age rewind and like skincare for older women. And I'm like, by the way, I'm 16. So
do you know what I looked like when I was 16 and 17? I'm surprised I had friends.
I had that face too, though.
Did you? Because I wanted to ask you this. Okay. I don't mean like kind of awkward. Okay. I want to know, did you really ever go through an awkward phase? And don't fuck with me. Don't be like, yeah, well, you know, like I kind of had acne like a little bit when I was 15. Like, no, like, were you fugly at some point?
I was fugly at some point. You know, I had such big, thick, huge, curly hair, and my parents wouldn't let me buy me a hair straightener. So I had no idea what to do with this giant hair. So picture I had humongous, frizzy, curly, wavy hair. I would try to iron it with like a real iron because I would be like, mom and dad, my hair, it's like out to here. Like, please just help a girl out. They wouldn't buy me a hair straightener. I had braces for like 4.5 years.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
I also had Alicia, I had glasses. I was like a huge tomboy in the sense, and I'm not even trying to seem relatable. Like, I had my moments of being like very awkward inside my body.
Okay.
And I was there, and I was a tomboy, and I played tons of sports, and I didn't have a fashion sense. And I mean, obviously, who the heck did in like middle school, early high school? Like, you're not supposed to, except now I feel like kids do because they have the internet, but we were all like dorky and like wearing blue eyeshadow and glitter all over our faces. But yes, I had my moment. But then when I started modeling when I was like 17 years old, I had like professional hair and makeup and stylists making me look that way.
I understand, but you can't, but there's only so much makeup and hair and all that can do. Like, you have to have the perfect face to begin with. And I was just so curious because, you know, so the way that I like started becoming like extra obsessed with you, not just like with the way that you look, was when I saw you on TikTok and I saw some of your postpartum posts, like just the fact that you talk about changes, like when you go through motherhood, all that stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I've literally never related to someone more. Like, holy shit, I can't believe a Victoria's Secret model is making me feel better about myself. She literally went from making me feel horrible to making me feel not better about myself, but just less alone. Okay. And I was
I feel like we were pregnant and postpartum at the same time. And I feel like even when it's virtual, you're like bonded for life with people who you're pregnant and postpartum with at the same time. So we were those people.
I agree. So as I was watching these, I was like, she must have gone through an awkward phase because there's no way she would be this nice and charming if she was just like pretty her whole entire life. Like, I fully hope my children go through awkward phases. I think it builds character. It builds a sense of humor. It builds kindness. It makes you more well-rounded. Like pretty people who've just been pretty forever, assholes.
I completely agree. I feel like it absolutely builds character and like those awkward years of like trying to figure yourself out. And then you made a TikTok about this, about like, you know, when you're postpartum and after you have your kids, you can't wait to like feel hot and amazing again.
Yeah.
But if you have an awkward phase, once you do get into like a groove where you like know how to do your hair and your makeup and you know how to dress, you're like, damn, I feel good.
Yeah, like, you're like
I'm
invincible.
Figuring this all out.
100%. You feel even better than just the person that happened to be hot their whole entire life because you know what it's like to struggle. You know what it's like to struggle. You know what it's like to feel uncomfortable. So when you do feel good, you're like, damn, I feel good.
Yes. And that is the best feeling ever. Like pre and post kids. I just remember like visiting that time when you become a woman and you're like, oh, wait, I'm like figuring this out. Like, I think I look like kind of put together now. This is successful.
So I am going to want to talk to you about all of the like postpartum motherhood changes that you go through in your life, like just all of the things. But before I do, can I ask you some modeling questions first? Okay.
Absolutely. Of course. I'll answer anything you want.
I'm like just like fascinated by like models because I grew like we grew up like, you know, during the time in the 2000s where models were everything. They were our movie stars. Y'all were our movie
stars. Absolutely.
And
I
so
miss those days.
I do too. And so I just feel like I wanted to know, did you know while you were a supermodel? I mean, you still are a supermodel, but just like during that time that you were this big of a celebrity. Like, you know what I mean? Did you know that like women everywhere were like, holy shit, we're putting these women on our walls. We're tearing their pages out in a magazine and putting it on our like bulletin boards. Like, were you aware of that?
I don't think I was aware of that because like, I mean, I think it was a big deal when I started appearing on TV because I was with Maybelline for so many years. So when I would see myself on television, and I remember at one point Maybelline did like a Super Bowl commercial and no one even told me that that was going to happen. And I was like,
you didn't get paid for that?
That's huge.
No, that should have been extra
bonus.
Well, I got bonus.
Paid for it, but like it should.
No, but like bonus money.
Agreed. And also a heads up would have been nice. Like I'm sitting there eating my tortilla chips and I'm like, oh my God, I was in a Super Bowl commercial.
So you could have like DVR'd it?
Yes, absolutely. But I feel like I didn't know at the time. No, but I feel like even now with TikTok, and it makes me feel so old, but I feel like I'm getting even more of a feeling that people are like, you have no idea. Like, I worshipped you when I was like a kid, you were all over my wall, or like that commercial or whatever it might be. Like, people are like, you were such a huge part of like my childhood and what I looked up to. So I feel like now I'm seeing those comments, but in the 2000s, like, when would I hear that or see that?
You know? Weren't like, there wasn't just some like big model friend group where you guys all had a group chat and you're like, ha ha ha, we're so pretty and everybody loves us. Like, we're so famous. Like, we can date Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, no, like there wasn't, y'all didn't talk about that at photo shoots. Like, wow, look how much everyone loves
us. We didn't, but you know what? I wish that we had, because looking back now that I'm like a mom with two kids and I'm home all the time, I'm like, I should have like soaked that in a little bit more, but I was so insecure. I was just a kid. I know. But I really was so insecure. And then, you know, as a model, when I started, when I was like 17 years old, like think about who you were when you were 17 years old. And then you're showing
ugly.
Up to a photo shoot.
I was not cute. I wasn't. Anyway,
showing up to a photo shoot and it's literally like all adults around you and they're like, they seem so much cooler and sophisticated and better than you. And I just remember being like an awkward kind of teen and being like, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to interact with all of these adults. So no, I wasn't being like, oh, I'm a star. I was just like, I hope I do a good job today. Like, tell me I look nice.
That's so fascinating because I feel like when I was 17 years old, if someone would have booked me on an Armani perfume commercial, okay, like knowing what I looked like and like just I would have eaten that shit up. I would have literally been like, I have arrived. I am here. Everyone bow down. Like, I'm so sorry that you didn't get to enjoy that moment.
It's funny that you're bringing this up because now that I've had kids and I feel like I'm living a much more, you know, simple, grounded lifestyle, I do reflect on my early modeling days and I'm like, that was pretty cool. And I was doing things that like is never going to occur again sometimes today because I like have these two wonderful children, but like, you know what I mean? And I didn't really soak it in, but like, I think the modeling industry kind of does that to you anyway, because you kind of never really feel like you're quite good enough or whatever it might be. So I never was like really letting it sink in. And I had like one or two girlfriends who I'm still friends with today. And we were like each other's hype women, but no one was like, we're so hot and cool. Like, let's just like run with this.
Was it more competitive within with models, or was it more supportive?
I feel like it depends on like the brand and like who you were working for. Like, you know, for an example, like I worked with Maybelline for so many years and like I walked onto that set with like, I was 17 years old, like a junior in high school, to Adriana Lima. Like yeah. to me and for you too, like that was shocking.
Yeah.
And those girls like Adriana Lima, Christy Turlington, Julia Stegner, these were the girls who were with Maybelline, were so wonderful. But I won't lie that there were certain sets that you would walk onto that there was definitely a very competitive spirit about it, which yeah. I didn't like, because I'm not even saying this to sound like relatable or anything. I'm definitely more of a girl's girl. Like I want to feel like comfortable yeah. and I connect mm-hmm. with women. And I would always be like, oh, this is a tough one. Like everyone is like out to kind of like outdo each other in a way.
Yeah.
So there were definitely certain jobs and like, I feel like brands that like bred that type of spirit. I'll put it that way.
Totally. I mean, like how could it not? I feel like within any industry, honestly, like there's always going to be that competition and that's just to be expected. I think I was just curious as to like how competitive was it? Like when you heard that, like, let's just say if you heard that another model got this, like, this Missoni ad, oh no, she's the face of Missoni now. Were you like, fuck, I really wanted that. Like, is that how it yeah. was? I feel like that's how I'd be.
Kind of. Yeah. It kind of was like that in the sense that like sometimes, especially throughout your agency, you would be up for a job and it would be like they want a brunette with blue eyes who's X, Y, and Z. And there's only like said few models maybe in your camp. So we're all up for like the same jobs. And eventually yeah. you would find out who got it. But sometimes it depends. Like sometimes with a job, if they ended up hiring like a blonde with blue eyes, I wasn't like, oh, I was kind of like, well, they wanted a blonde and like whatever. But yeah. if it was the girl with like brunette with blue eyes who was like similar to me, I was like, God damn it. Like yeah. I wanted that. But that's like the most of it. Like we weren't then like trolling each other or something or like bullying each other on set the next time we saw each other. That would okay. be like so that way was more tea.
Pre-internet, honestly. Well, like not pre-internet, pre-social media. What was, I know that you like have done posts about like your experience in casting, that like one time you had to fly, you flew all the way to Milan for them to just send you home because you were too big.
Yeah.
What? No, like the way yeah. that, first of all, it's so fucked up that you were ever considered big. See, this is another thing. Growing up in the 2000s, like, was maybe the most toxic time to grow up in terms of like body image and what was expected, like what we were expected to look like. Like that.
I agree.
That was just dark times. I'm so thankful that we're raising children in a time where so many different body types are praised and admired and loved. But like, I can't believe you were ever considered big, but like, what is that like? Like, did you sob? How did that conversation go?
Oh, yes. Oh, I sobbed. So I went all the way to Milan for this job and it was like a very big high fashion job. And I arrived to set and I remember that they didn't start shooting me and they did a fitting on me and no one started shooting until like noon or 1 o'clock, which isn't abnormal. But I remember being like, oh my gosh, there's only said amount of hours left in the day. Like, is going to take like 2 seconds.
Can I ask you, was this for like a spread? Or like
no, this was for a campaign, a fashion campaign, okay. A very big brand.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, there's only so many hours left in the day. Like this is, I don't know when they're going to pull this off, but I'm here and I'm waiting and I'm sitting in a robe and I did my hair and makeup. And then I got a call from my agent and I remember I red-eyed into this job. So I had all my suitcases with me, which like is a horrible thing to do, but I did it. And my agent calls me and he's just like, hey, you can head back to your hotel. And I was like, oh my God, what do you mean? And by the way, the hotel was walking distance. So I just like rolled
my
suitcases.
No, the visual, the like on like cobblestone streets. Stop it. Like, yes. No, I'm not okay. I'm not okay.
They're like, yeah, you can just walk. It's actually super close. And then when I got back to my hotel room, my agent called me and kind of explained like, you know, it just wasn't what they were picturing for the day and the clothes weren't laying and falling the way that they liked or wanted them to. And I remember I was so upset. I cried so much. I ate everything out of the mini bar and I'm not really someone who's like a binge eater, but I think I remember I was just like so fried and so sad. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to eat everything in this mini bar and it'll probably get charged back to the brand.
Yeah. Why didn't you order? I'd order everything on room service. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Exactly.
I would have done a big fuck you.
No. It was so upsetting though. Like I was like, also like the amount of time burned, like that's a long way to go for a job and then to like send you home. And I still got paid for it though.
Okay. Thank God for that. I love convenience. I talk about convenience all the time. And part of that is ordering my groceries online. Like going to the grocery store, yeah, it's fun every once in a while. But when you think about it, they don't have that many options. And when you're looking for a certain type of food, like you don't want to just be like standing in the aisle looking at the ingredients, taking your time while people are trying to rush past you and like move and like hit you. And like, it's just not the vibe, which is why I love Thrive Market, because it makes shopping for my household so freaking easy. Let me just say that my absolute favorite thing about Thrive Market is that they have so many filters. So let's say I'm looking for a certain type of snack for like Hartford, but I want it to be gluten-free or I want something else. Any filter you can really think of, like they have filters. So then you put that in and they will only show you snacks that you know are exactly what you need for your kid. So instead of going to the grocery store and just looking at the back of everything and trying to figure it out, again, way too time consuming, you get to use filters. I just love being able to like go grocery shopping from the comfort of my own home. And then it's quickly shipped right to my doorstep. If something is that needs to be refrigerated or whatever like that, it comes in an insulated box. It's just so easy. And now you can join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/straightup for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/straightup, thrivemarket.com/straightup. I also have a really random question. I have a really random follow-up question to what you just said. You said that you had just got off a red eye and you had brought your suitcases into the shoot, which is a big no-no. Why?
No, meaning I got off, like, it's kind of a no-no to red eye into a job like that, as a model. But I always was like, I don't want to like arrive to Europe and have a day to burn and then go to the shoot. But like, it's literally your job to look good. So you kind of shouldn't red eye into a job. But I was always like, I want to arrive the day of and like, just like crush it and leave. So I probably looked horribly tired as well as too big.
Okay. So is that maybe your worst experience that you've had in terms of like what was the worst casting? What's the worst casting that you went to?
Oh, the worst casting. I mean, I feel like notoriously the worst casting was always the Victoria's Secret fashion show casting, which I went to for many years. Mm-hmm. Also, you know what that casting looked like.
Yeah,
they watched. Like televised it.
It's like so crazy now, like thinking back on it, that they were like, yeah, 100%. We want the world to see how awful we are as a brand. Like we want everyone to see like just how much we're bullying these models and making them feel like absolute shit. Like it's crazy.
But at that time, it was the norm. It was just like you got up there. There were a million girls. And I think this was just a typically like a very hard one for me because I wanted that job. That was one of the ones every year when it came around, like the Victoria's Secret fashion show would completely change your career and your career trajectory. So I always was like, I want that one. You roll in, there's a million girls. They're like, wear your best like matching set of underwear. Make sure your skin's moisturized. Like I remember I would work out like 3 hours a day prior to that casting, which they also normally. They like showed how everyone was like working.
Adriana
out,
Lima.
Like,
It's
but
a
I
lot.
Feel like they don't really like show stuff like that now, but then they did. And I'm saying that because like even for other people watching like yourself, I'm like, that wasn't good for anybody, including myself. Every year I wouldn't get it and I would just be so sad and mad because it's like, okay, like walk from here to there, like in your underwear. And like, you're trying to be like kind and friendly and like bubbly and talk to these strangers, like while you're standing there in your underwear. I mean, you know, how do you make that good?
No, I know. What is the worst thing that anyone's ever said to you in a casting?
Oh my gosh. I've had people say a lot of really weird things to me. Generally, I think like one of the worst things I heard someone say, he didn't say it directly to me, but I was working with a photographer who, by the way, I worked with all the time. And he said to someone right next to him, he was like, it's really hard to shoot her when she's fat like this. And I guess he was referencing that, like, my body, like, and it did fluctuate. I always had fluctuated. And then one time for this job, and this was like mortifying because I was also very young. I remember I was spilling all the tea. Like, I haven't even talked about some of this stuff on, like, but whatever. I remember one time I was young and they really wanted me to be more sexy for the job. Like, they were like, more sexy, more sexy, more sexy. And I was like pretty young and like maybe had never even had sex at this point, to be honest. And the director said exactly that. He was like, Jesus Christ, has this girl ever even had sex before? Because I was so not sexy, but there were a lot of people there and it was just like really mortifying. And I remember being like, I'm not sexy. And this guy just aired me out.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm traumatized for you.
Like, that one, was embarrassing.
Like, as a fellow, I don't know if you feel this way about yourself, but like, I've never been like a sexy girl. Like, that's not my thing. Like, yeah. I think I'm pretty and I have a lot of good qualities, but like, you know, there are like this, like, it's, first of all, you, in your photo shoots, you look like the sexy girl. You do a really good job of pretending, but like, sexy's never been my vibe. So if I were to do a shoot where I'm like attempting to look sexy and someone said that to me, I would probably never have sex again. Like, that would traumatize me to my core. You know?
Yeah. I just remember being like red hot embarrassed, you know? And by the way, after someone tells you that you're really not sexy, it doesn't inspire you
100%.
To go try to be really sexy.
Exactly. Like, how are you supposed to do a better job? God. Like, oh, well, now that you said that, I think I can figure it out now. Like, are you kidding?
I couldn't though. That was so embarrassing. But I think like that one and people just like, I remember one time, I can laugh about it now, by the way, because like, at the time I couldn't, but now I can because I have enough distance from it. But like, people would make small remarks, like things like, oh my God, like, you're way bigger than I thought you were going to be. Or people would be like, oh my God, you have legs like a football player. And I would be like, because for me in 2010s, being, I was like a size 6 at that time. That was like so wild at that time. Like, there weren't like plus size models really circulating. Like, there were, but they're not in the press. And I felt like, being a size 6, like, people were like, yikes, like, we're really going to have to like make accommodations for this. And luckily I had an agent who helped with that, but it was like, people were, it wasn't the norm. And I mentioned that on TikTok recently and I got like steamrolled in the comments because people are like, being a size 6 is like not anything revolutionary. Hey. And I'm like, by the way, I'm an 8 now and I know it's not revolutionary. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah, you were speaking to your experience back then during that time. Everybody needs to calm down in the comment section. I swear to God, the comment section. You know, everyone wants us to tell our truths, tell our stories, and then they don't, you know, we do it, and then they don't fully watch the whole thing or digest everything properly, and then they have all these opinions, and it's like, see, this is why I don't tell my truth all the time, you guys. Like,
it's fuck. So true.
Like, Jesus.
And the only way to succeed on TikTok is just to make people so angry. So that works if you want to do well there. I'm like, oh, I just made everyone so mad.
For real. Last modelly question, and then we'll move along. I swear, I'm just so fascinated by all of this.
No,
so,
I'm fine.
I saw one of your TikToks where you said you had to go and buy $10,000 worth of clothes in one day in Paris because you showed up to a casting in like just like your standard, you know, like jean shorts, tank top, whatever. What happened? I need to know the details of that. Like, what?
So I started modeling, like I said, when I was like 17 years old and my mom and I would go to Paris and I met with my agency there. And you know, in Paris, they're so chic. Mm-hmm. They're so snooty in an amazing way because they like have a great sense of style and all of that. But I remember I went to a casting and I was just wearing like regular, like all black, like nothing crazy. But my agency was like, this is not going to work. Like, if you want to be taken seriously as a model, you need to look the part, which by the way, I don't think is like an outlandish thing.
Right.
To say, or like, because as a model, like, it is your job to look good. And I clearly like didn't really know how to do that because again, I was kind of like a weird, like not in a great space and didn't know how to get dressed really. I knew how to dress like a teenager. And my agent took me out with my mom and we went to like Galeries Lafayette and they would be like, okay, like, you're going to wear this, 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 and pile you up. And they'd be like, if you want to, but the thing was, they'd be like, and I have my best friend, Kate Bach, who also validated this experience. She had the same agent. She's like, same exact thing. She was like, they were like, if you want to be successful, like you have to like wear designer head to toe because people can spot it. And that is true. Meaning like a casting director, a photographer can tell if you're wearing something expensive or not, like down to the handbag, everything. So they were like, you need to dress like this. And me and my mom were just like from upstate New York and had no idea what we were doing. And we were just like, okay, like if that's what you think I need to do in order to be successful. And we did that. And by the way, that was the most money I had ever spent in my life on a single thing. Even still to this day, I've never spent that much in one shopping experience. Like, but yeah. I felt that that's what I needed to do to be successful.
Do you remember what
was not the case. I just feel like I could have looked expensive wearing like Topshop, Zara, like other things. Like there's a way to look chic and put together. It doesn't have to be head to toe designer.
100%. Do you remember what you bought a day?
Yes. And I can't get rid of these goddamn shoes. I tried to reel them because I was like, I hate these shoes and I bought them because of this one day.
You need to keep them. It's like a representation of like, of your life. They should be in a glass box somewhere, you know?
That's true. I remember I bought like this big leather jacket, these like high-waisted Fendi leggings and these like leather leggings, because that was like the thing then, and giant like platform Fendi shoes and this sheer like helmet Lang top. And that was like my model off-duty castings look.
I love that for you. That's crazy.
And giant Givenchy bag, which I still use.
Okay. See, there you go. It wasn't a complete waste. Yeah. Also your whole career. No. So there's that. I mean, how exciting must that have been to be just, you know, from the US as a teenager, you and your mom get sent to Paris because you're,
oh my God,
you're scouted as a model. Like, that's like what I dreamed of my whole life. No, it never happened for me.
That part was epic. Like, I remember my mom and I, when we went on our first like trip together, because she would travel with me, especially when I was like 17 years old, and they flew us like business class. And we were shook. We were so shook. Like, I had never even flown internationally before. I didn't even have a passport before I was a model.
Oh my God. So you were spoiled right away. It's like once you fly first class to Europe, you can't fathom again how you could ever go back. And I've done both, obviously. But like the second, the first time I flew first class to Europe, I was like, I'm ruined now. I'm ruined. Now for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to do this. Otherwise, I'm just not going to travel.
Absolutely. And so we're flying business class. I remember we got there and it was like not even that great of a hotel, but there was like a buffet breakfast. And we were like, wait, we can like eat this food and like just like put it on our room. And like we were so mind blown by the whole experience. And I love reflecting on those memories because like, it was just such a whirlwind. And we traveled for years together because I would bring her, because sometimes they would give me like a companion ticket. So if I was going far away, they'd say, you can bring someone. And I would always bring her if I could, because I'm like, I don't want to be alone in these random places.
That is just so fun. Like, what a life.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for indulging me about all the modeling stuff. Thank you.
No, of course. I'm happy to talk about all that stuff. And I know people are like really interested in hearing it. And I love revisiting it because it's like fond memories, except for the ones that like aren't.
Yeah, totally. Well, speaking of like revisiting things. So what I love so much about your TikTok is that it's like watching a supermodel go through everything that I'm going through. And you really are so fucking honest about everything. And one of the things that I saw you talk about that I personally like suffer from this is that you're like, and I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but you're like, am I, now that I'm different, now that I'm not just a supermodel anymore, now that I, you know, I don't live in the city, I live in the suburbs, now that I have two kids and I'm a mom, like, do I have any value anymore? Like, is my content going to bore people? Like, I'm not the same person I was anymore. So does that mean I'm not interesting anymore? And I suffer from this. Like, the second that, you know, I had kids, I'm like, I feel so fucking different. I don't know who I am. I have an identity crisis every day and it still isn't, I still can't figure out who I am. People will ask me like, so who are you now? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. The older I get, the more I realize I have no idea who I am. And I get insecure that maybe my content, people don't want to see that anymore. They don't want to hear like what I have to say now, or they don't want to follow what my life is like now. They want to see me like, you know, single, partying it up, like throwing a drink in someone's face and like being bitchy. And if I don't have that, then I don't have value. So Sorry, I just spoke a lot about that, but clearly.
No, that's exactly how I feel. And I'm glad that you relate to that. I do think becoming a mom, and especially for me moving to the suburbs, there's something about it that I'm like, I feel like washed up and boring. And I don't even feel like I'm allowed to participate in the conversations happening on TikTok because I'm such a bore.
Me too. Me too.
So I have that major imposter syndrome, even with getting dressed too. Like I'm like, who am I to wear this as like a mom of two? Where am I going? Like, yes. What am I doing?
100%.
So I totally have that as well. And it's something that I haven't figured out. Like, I still feel like I very much struggle with it. But also, by the way, I feel like everyone wants your take, especially like speaking about you, on the experiences that you're currently going through. Like, I love when you talk about the motherhood stuff because it's still you and like that person that we all resonated with when you were on Vanderpump Rules and like that like evolution. But like now it's your take on this side of things and this part of your life. I love it.
Well, I appreciate that. I just feel like I'm so much softer and people really love that. Like I was just really hard before and just, I was like a knife. I was like the representation of a knife, a dagger. You know what I mean? And it's just like not who I am. And I feel like I'm disappointing people when my take isn't that judgy. When I'm like, actually, I see both sides. Do you know what I mean?
But it's also like you were a kid. Yeah. Like you were literally a kid at that time. But I totally understand. Like sometimes I'm like, when I'm like, no one cares about my content. All people cared about that I was like jet setting and like on photo shoots and getting full hair and makeup. And now I'm just like trying to survive the day with like two children and like my content and my stories. I'm like, I don't know who wants to see this. But also sometimes I tell myself, I'm like, I'm allowed to participate in the conversation too. But figuring out even what you want to say also gets confusing because I'm like, well, what do I think is important now? What do I want to say? Like, is this outfit even cute? Now I have to like rethink it in this new lens. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Oh no, I 100% do. And I'm so impressed that you're able to put so much content out there because I'm like, wow, like I clam up. I'm just like, I don't know if this is worth putting out there. Like I don't know if this is worth making a TikTok over. Like I have this thought, but like, and then I'll just get insecure and just not do it. Move on to the next thing. Okay, Liquid IV. I mean, literally one of my favorite brands in the whole entire world. I literally drink Liquid IV all day long. I drink it before bed. It's like the first thing I drink in the morning. Like I've been addicted to it for years and years. It's a hydration multiplier. So in case you have never heard of Liquid IV, which I find that very hard to believe, I'm gonna explain real fast. Okay, so like one little stick, like one little pouch of Liquid IV, when you mix it with 16 ounces of water, it's like drinking twice as much water. Okay. It hydrates you twice as much. And there's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. There's no artificial sweeteners and you have 8 vitamins and nutrients. So I just feel like I'm drinking magic water all day long. And I think that's why I'm so addicted to it. They have so many different flavors. Passion fruit has always been my favorite, but while I was pregnant, they came out with sugar free. And so now I'm on this sugar free white peach kick. So I alternate, you know, between passion fruit and the sugar-free white peach. And even right now, as we speak, I have a different one because I'm using their immunity one because I feel like I'm getting sick. So I'm drinking the Tangerine Immunity Liquid IV. Listen, I mean, everyone needs to stay hydrated. So like, it's not just like a workout-y thing. Like when you're on a plane, you get dehydrated. When you're hungover, dehydrated. Before you go to bed after a long night of drinking, dehydrated. Like staying hydrated is very freaking important. So when you drink water, might as well be drinking twice as much water at the same time. So grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Stassi at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today using promo code Stassi at liquidiv.com. Like, but you really put so much out there.
I try to, because I'm trying to find like this next like evolution, this next chapter of who I am and like what I want to share with the world. And I feel like having kids has also opened up this whole group of women that I connect with in mm-hmm. such a more like more wonderful and more meaningful way. And there's so many people who are so engaged and so interested in that content specifically. But I think, I don't know if you feel this way, sometimes it feels like a defeat to be like, well, I'm just like a mom now doing mom content. And like, oh, I'm yeah. like, no, be chic, be cool, more, be better. Cause I know,
be cool. Show that you're out at a cool place, that you're wearing something cool, that like you're lunching, or that like, you know, like you still, there's still some version of you who you were before is still in there somewhere, just like clawing, trying to get out. Yeah, I get it. I fully understand. And I think that this isn't a model thing. This isn't a like reality yeah. star thing. This is like an every woman thing, because when you have a child, the second you see that positive pregnancy test, honestly, you are never the same. You mm-hmm. are never the same person you were before. And so many people can say like, you know, my goal as a mom is to like, I don't want motherhood to change me. Like, I still want to be me. I still want to do the things that I do. And I'm like, that's great. Like, hold on to as much as you possibly can, but that's impossible. Like everything,
it's so
like
impossible.
Like not just the fact that like, okay, you're carrying a baby, so like your body's going to change. And then like, you know, you can't really drink, so why would you go out? So the things that you do are going to change. But then once you have that baby, like you don't live for yourself anymore. You don't live for yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have free will really anymore. You don't sleep in anymore. You don't, like, even with help, you know, or even if your kids are in school yeah. or in daycare, there's never a moment where you stop thinking about your kids. Like, it's just, your life is different. And it's, yeah, I don't even know where I was just going with that. I'm feeling all the feelings.
I'm with you. No, I feel the exact same way. And like, I think even more so with time and as my kids get older and I settle even more into the role of being a mother and what my life looks like, it almost feels like the old me just gets farther and farther and farther away. So I've had like my own feelings about that. Also, like the amount that I've changed even since the day that I got pregnant, like you said, my husband said something to me the other day. He was like, I feel like you've like been in a bad mood for 2.5 years. And I was like, I went through a lot. Like yeah. I am different. Because I was like, listen, I know that you dated this like 20-year-old supermodel who was like my biggest like thing to do for the day was to like make a vlog and go grocery shopping. And now my life is so different. And I had 2 kids in 2 years and I live in the suburbs and like everything is flipped upside down. So like the last 2.5 years, yeah, I'm not like how I was then, but I'm going to need you to just get on board where we're going. I don't know where we're going, but we're going.
Yes, I think that's a really like that conversation needs to be had more, because I have that with my husband too, where I feel like I'm not as fun as I used to be. Like I recognize that he started dating somebody and proposed to somebody who's a completely, even when it comes down to like the frequency of like having sex, it's like, I used yes. to like want to have sex all the time. Like I used to want to go out all the time. I was fun. I was exciting. Like now I have to schedule quite literally everything in my life. And at the end of the day, I feel just like touched out, talked out, everything. Like I'm like that. I just need to decompress and I get insecure that I'm letting him down as his partner, but then like also that's so not fair, because
I agree
as women have to go through so fucking much when we have children. And yes. the dudes like, yes, I understand it's a big adjustment, like 100% dads, like yeah, but like you have no fucking idea.
No idea. First of all, we're living parallel lives and we're having the same conversations yeah. like with our significant others, because my husband, and that's so triggering for me when he even brings up the word fun. And I'm also like, we also have to not to like accept this level of defeat, but I'm like, I have to readjust our expectations in terms of what is fun now.
Correct.
Because it needs to be planned and it's not going to be like a 3-day bender frolicking around. Let's like head to Montauk and let's run here. It's like, it has to be planned. It has to be more controlled. And like, what do we actually enjoy? Cause it's not going to be the same. And I don't even know if I could reach that level of fun again, without like panicking and thinking about waking up with my kids the next day.
This is a fear. hangover. I can't parent with a hangover. I can't do it. So like, even if we have the ability to go out, I'm like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for me to be hungover. So like, I'm not going to be as fun as I used to be. But like, it's just so crazy how much of an identity crisis like we as women have, and it's not really spoken about. It really, like, not that much.
I don't think it's, I mean, I think that people just want to hear that like motherhood is the most wonderful, rosy thing ever. And it is. It is so wonderful and the best thing I've ever done. But I feel like the body changes, the psychological changes, the identity changes, the career changes for me. Like, it is so all encompassing that like, I just feel like I'm drowning all the time, just trying to find myself. Like, I know who I am as a mother, because I actually think it's kind of easy to be like, I want to be here for my kids. I love the hell out of them. Like, you know, that's so clear, but everything else becomes a fog, at least to me.
100%. And like, yes, I like how you just said, of course, like, motherhood is actually the best thing. It was the one thing I wanted for myself. I'm so thankful that it happened to me twice. I like, my favorite part of the day is when I wake up with my kids, but also I like to say that my other favorite part of the day is when they go down to sleep at night and I can be myself 100%. Again. You know, like, it's, motherhood is just one big giant amazing mind fuck. So like, just because we're complaining about how hard it is doesn't mean we're not obsessed with it. It's just, we need to talk about how we lose ourselves and we're trying to find ourselves, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle every day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about for you. Did you feel like after you had your first, did you reach a certain age with her where you felt like you were more yourself or?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't.
I think it was once she turned one, I felt like I had a better, well, first of all, my body like was back to, I fit in all my old clothes again. So like, I felt like, oh, I can get dressed easily without crying, you know, like, so that already made me feel like part of my old self was there. And also just like at one, it feels like you can't really hurt her. Like, you know, like if she falls, like, I don't know, like she didn't feel as like breakable. So I just felt like we felt more confident leaving her with people. Mm-hmm. So we were able to like go off and do things. But now I don't know how you have two under two, like people who do that. Holy shit. Like, at least Hartford just turned three and my other kid is 4 months old. Like, now I feel like I just started over. It's like reset. Back.
Oh, you're still in it.
To the beginning. Oh yeah. Now I just started over.
You're in it.
So now I'm in the complaining phase where it's like, holy fuck, am I ever going to have a life again? Yeah.
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
I know. Cause I'm at the 9 month mark now, which is the farthest I've ever gotten. Cause I got pregnant like 7 months postpartum.
Oh my gosh.
After I had my first. So 9 months, I'm kind of like just slowly starting to feel a little bit. But 4 months is until 6 months, I am a wreck.
That makes me feel better. That makes me feel better because I feel like, okay, you know?
You're very like put together and like making real sentences. Like, I wasn't.
Thank you. You know, I feel like because the first time around, it was like, holy shit, it was during COVID. And so like, we were just like we couldn't really go anywhere for the most part for a while. So this pregnancy and this journey, I've forced myself to be like, I want to do things completely differently. I don't want to suffer from like having to stay home. I want to be able to work. I want to be able to do things. I want to feel like myself. I'm just rushing back into it because I'm so desperate to feel like myself again, which is also kind of fucked up.
Same way.
Right?
I felt the exact same way. Like, I was like, I just need to get back to everything.
Yes.
And the first time I feel like you're like, I need to be gentle. I need to heal. And the second time you're like, okay, on with it. Like, make time pass. Like,
I know the amount of people being like, don't be so hard on yourself. Your body just did an amazing thing. I'm like, shut up. I know. You know what? Like, back in the day, women had kids and had to go like farm or hunt for things like the next day. So like, you know, I'm not pushing myself that much. It's just, I think being emotionally and mentally happy with myself is the best thing for my kids. So if I need to push myself instead of being like, I'm just going to appreciate what my body just did. And like, that's just not me. I can't.
I I feel the same exact way. And I remember I posted something like that on TikTok. Like I was like, it's okay to want to change your body. I think we've gotten like so far in another direction where it's okay to be like, I'm not super jazzed about the way that I look right now. I know my body did something absolutely epic, but I don't want to stay like this because I don't feel like myself. But I remember someone commented and said, I completely agree. Like, let me just be miserable in peace.
Yes.
So whenever someone's like, love yourself, I'm like, can I be miserable in peace? Just let me be.
Yes. And let me talk about it and watch it. Like, let me,
yeah.
Yeah. No,
exactly.
One of my favorite TikToks that you did, it might've been like the first TikTok that I saw of yours, was when you were like, okay, this is like my first postpartum like outfit. Like we're going out to dinner. It's like not even that big of a deal. Like it's not, it's like literally a casual dinner, but I have no idea what to wear. I got this Frankie Shop shirt, which is quite literally all I buy. All I wear are Frankie Shop oversized button downs. Yeah. Like that's like my full wardrobe.
So good.
So I'm like, oh my God, already I'm like, I feel this. And you put it on and you're like, no, now it just looks like I'm hiding my body, which like I am, but I also don't want to look like I'm hiding my body. And you're just like, you know, like when in doubt, wear gold hoops. You're like, I don't know. Yeah. Is this, you were just like, it was literally like watching myself. Like that's how I try on clothes. I'm just like, this is the best I can do today. I hope this works. Like, but like, honestly, is it? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I felt that.
Getting dressed part for me. And I think like I do hold that part of my identity, like wanting to get dressed and wanting to feel put together and fashionable. Like that is a part of like my mental health. Like
me too.
I know it is for some people, it sounds shallow and vapid, whatever you want to say, but I feel better when I'm pulled together.
Yes.
So not being able to do that easily is so upsetting to me because I look at my closet with all these wonderful things and I'm like, cool, can't wear any of this. So glad about that. So let me pull out another pair of goddamn leggings and an oversized sweater. And like, that just like, it brings me down so much versus the days that, you know, when you have like a great outfit on, your hair is done, your makeup done, you're like, I can do anything and I'm going to look good doing it.
Yes. I talk about this all the time on my podcast, truly, like that. One of the things that I do in order to be mentally well is get dressed every day and do my hair and makeup. Like I have to. So yes, with postpartum life, when you don't fit in any of your things, at least like when you're pregnant, you have the excuse of a fucking baby in your belly. But when it's postpartum, it's that belly still. And nothing that you own fits. How, when I tie so much of like what I look like on the outside with my mental well-being, it's impossible to be mentally well because I can't fit in anything. Like it's really hard.
And then I have the days where I'm like, I'm so focused on it and I'm so focused on the way that I look or how different I look. And then I'm like, God, Emily, like we got to like pull it together. We got to think about something else. We have to focus on something else. Like we have more to give the world than like this one thing. But I think when you're postpartum too, your world shrinks. Like it's just like you and your baby and you're at home. So I do think like those things become really big and they feel really important. But I also think like there's also people who have a baby like 2 days ago and come out looking amazing. And I can't help but be like, God, I'm wildly jealous.
Oh, 100%. One of my closest friends, Lala Kent. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You just had a baby. Why do you look better than I've ever looked in my entire life 3 days after you just had a baby? Like, we need to not be friends anymore.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because everybody's different and like responds differently. I fully look pregnant until like six. I still look pregnant. Like, I'm still in it. I'm in it.
No, I get it. And then I saw another TikTok that you had made where you're like, you were actually going to an event. So like something where you're going to get photographed, you're going to see people. It's not just a casual dinner. And you had said something that this was me too. God, I relate to you in so many ways. You're like, I wasn't planning on going to any like official sort of like party or event until I was like fully back to where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I felt. But like, it just like doesn't work that way. You end up like kind of just needing to like get out there. But I really felt that to my core. Like we are putting so much pressure on ourselves to like just get back to where we were that like we're not going to leave the house to go to a party until we're there. And it's like, that's sad, but it's honest. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt
it's
in my
so
brain.
True.
It's depressing as fuck.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Because when, if I think of someone else saying that to me, that they're missing out on like great experiences because they don't feel like they look good enough, it breaks your heart to hear someone else say that. But at the same time, I'm like, especially as a model, like models would reappear after having kids looking better than ever, like they never had a baby. And I'm like, I look like I had a baby. Like I'm wearing the suit, like I'm in it. And I just felt like I wasn't allowed to look. I felt like I wasn't even allowed to look super pregnant. Like I wasn't one of those girls who just had a bump. Like I gained like a full 40 pounds. Like it's everywhere. Like I was just like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be done. 40 pounds. I'm talking to, but I'm like,
also 40 pounds is nothing. That's literally nothing. My first pregnancy, granted it was COVID, so we like didn't, but yours was COVID too, and we didn't leave the house. I'm not joking, over 65 pounds.
Wow, not joking. But it's so easy though. It's so easy to gain that weight.
It's like wild how easy it is. Like when people tell me like, I just can't gain weight, I'll tell you how. Funfetti cake, cinnamon rolls, like juice.
Endless.
Like literally, yeah. Like I'll tell you pasta. I'll tell you how you, if anyone is struggling with gaining weight, come to me and I'll help you. This pregnancy, I did not weigh myself once. So I have not weighed myself. So I have no idea what I weigh. I have no idea how much I gained. When I would go to the doctor, I was like, don't tell me. Like because I know how it made me spiral before and I just can't do that to myself this time. So now I just go by what my clothes feel like.
It's so upsetting, the weighing you every single time. Like, it's so hard even talking about all this too, because I'm like, I've always been on a journey to try to like love my body, like where it's at and meet it where it's at. But I'm also this person who always wants to like feel better and do better and improve and like feel good in my body. And pregnancy and postpartum just throws it for such a loop. Like, I don't want to sound like this like super toxic, like thinspiration psychopath. But I also think that we've been so conditioned by like the media and society to be like, you're not supposed to look like you had a baby.
I don't even think
you had a baby.
I don't even think it's like this like toxic inspiration thing. I think it's about looking what you looked like before.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? That's what it is.
That's a good point.
It's like, it's not like, oh, we have to be super skinny and everyone has to be super skinny. It's you have to look like you didn't have a baby. Like you have to go back to what you looked like before, whatever size that was. And that's what keeps me up at night. That's my Roman Empire, that I don't look the way that I did before. So like, that's why I'm like, I'm not going to weigh myself, because it's not about the numbers. It's like about, I want to just fucking wear the clothes that are in my closet. That's it.
I know. I'm with you all the way. And I am so glad that we are like trauma bonded by this.
I know.
Experience.
And like, if anyone thinks that we're being toxic, it's like that we're being honest, because I don't know one mom who doesn't think about this. I don't know one fucking mom that does not think that's about this. So if anyone complains, they're lying. They're lying or they haven't had a baby.
That is a very valid point. There is not a single mom that doesn't like visit this like genre of motherhood, postpartum, and just wanting to feel and look like themselves again. I don't know a single one.
Yes. Even the ones that like bounce back super quickly, they stressed about it too. Like everyone wants to feel like they are still themselves. That's truly what it is. You know?
Yeah. But I'm just
sorry,
like,
I don't mean to depress
find
you.
Her again. No, you didn't depress me. This is my Roman Empire as well. I'm like, feel like I'm still very much in this phase of my life. And I have this conversation like daily with my husband, even outside of like the body stuff and clothes. Like, I'm like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want to do. And like, you probably feel the same way, like in terms of like, you know, your background and where you started, and you're kind of like carving out your own trajectory and what's next and like what you want to do and focus on and spend your time. And you're like, oh, well, I don't know. Can someone just tell me?
I feel that. I like actually, and that's the only separation that you actually have, because when you work from home, working from home as a mom, granted, I have nothing to compare it to. Okay. So like, I was a full-time mom without like before I like kind of went back to work. So like, I guess I can compare it to that. I don't know what it's like to go to work every day. I think that comes with its own, obviously its own problems, like having to ask your boss to like get off in order to be there for your kid. Like that's
true.
There's so many, you know, pros and cons to each thing, but when you're working at home, you can never fully like give your attention to your work, because if I hear my baby crying, or if I hear any noise, or just knowing that one of them is upstairs, I there's never any real separation. Whereas like I fantasize sometimes about going to like a full day of work somewhere, leave the house, get dressed up, look good, go somewhere, do anything at all. I don't care what it is, but like be able to just like not be in mom mode, to just separate for a second.
Yes, it's so hard to separate from it. And it's like a privilege to be able to be so in the mix and choose when you want to be in the mix.
Yes.
But then you're also like, it would feel nice to just like, because then when you separate, you feel like you can truly be present doing whatever else you're doing. It's just too hard to be present like when you're at home with them. And then the guilt.
Yes.
The immense guilt. Like anytime I'm doing anything but not being with my kids, especially when I'm at home, I'm like, is this really important? Like, do I really need to be doing this? And you think about it and you're like, maybe not. Like, I should cancel. I should do this. Like, I'll do it when they're sleeping. Like, it's just, it's never ending.
It truly is never ending. It's like this whole thing about like everyone talking about, you know, it's, we're always asked, can women have it all? Can women have it all? No one ever asks dudes that, but we're always asked. And the answer is like, yes and no. Yes. Like just like at different times in your life, like you're never going to have it all at once. Like people who you look at and you think, wow, it looks like they have it all, guaranteed they don't. Guaranteed there is a certain aspect of that person's life that is suffering, you know?
So true. That's why with certain people, like with certain people's content, I just have to like mute it when it's too aspirational and like not realistic. I'm like, I can't consume this. It's like so upsetting and so unrealistic.
I know. I just remind myself that social media is like a fantasy. It's not like real. It's like a magazine. Like, and I understand like people aren't going to be putting out the shitty parts of their lives all the time. Like, nor should they have to, like, you know, whatever. So I'm constantly reminding myself that this is not real. This is not real. This is not real. It's like you're in a horror movie and you have to remind yourself, like when you get really scared, you're like, it's not real. It's not real. It's not real. That's what I do with social media, but I can't look away.
I know. I can't look away either. And then sometimes I like feel like I overcorrect and try to be like super real and honest. And then I'll look at other models' content and I'm like, they're not being honest. They just look amazing and like are doing amazing things, even though they're moms. So I should be like less real and honest and just look amazing. It looks way better the way that they're doing it instead of being like honest about the journey of it all.
No, I get it. But I really love the path that you've chosen for yourself because you have at least Thank affected you. One person, and that's me. Like, You have made me feel comforted, and you've made me laugh, and you've made me feel like I had like a friend that's like going through the same thing, even though I don't know you. Well, didn't know you. So like, thank you for doing your work, you know?
I appreciate that. And that is like the good and the value in it, is like making people feel less alone and like whatever they're going through. That's like my main thing. It's like, you're never alone in what you're going through. Like, we're all going through it. It just like looks different on certain people.
100%. You guys, this was so fun, and we're going to do another hour.
Yes.
We're going to do another hour. Emily has a podcast, Remodeling, and I'm going to go on it. I don't know which one's going to come out first. Who cares? I'm so excited to do yours. Also, where can everybody find you? You also have a skincare line. I didn't even talk about that. I mean, entrepreneur vibes.
It's okay. You can find me at Emily DiDonato. My skincare brand is Covey Skin. If you guys want to check it out, just a super simple, minimalistic skincare routine that I live, breathe, and die by. And then I'm DiDonato Emily on TikTok, and come find me. And yeah, make sure you listen to our episode over on remodeling too. We're going to talk about a lot of what we talked about here, but I want to go more into your story.
Okay. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here. Like, seriously, thank you.
Oh my God. No, thank you. I'm so glad that we did this. This is awesome. I was like so happy to see that you were like commenting on my stuff. I've been a fan for a long time, and I knew we were like doing the parallel live situation. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we're both in it right now.
Yeah. Thank you, soul sister. All right. Thank you guys.